As I mentioned, Sheriff, Jacksonville Police, according to the Florida Times Union and our news partner News for Jax, are investigating three shootings that happened within a couple of hours of each other last night. Correct?
Right, I think actually we had five last night.
Five.
And, you know, Melissa, this is what concerns me. You know, I talk about that three-legged stool of public safety. The first one being the police resources, those officers out there on the street. The second being community involvement. And the third being great prosecution out of our state attorney's office. Now, we still have, you know, tremendous participation within the community. Our SHADCO numbers are, you know, over 3,000. Doing very well there.
And for those who aren't aware, SHADCO is a community groups that work with the police on public safety, right?
Right, right. It's a Sheriff's Advisory Council. And these are citizen people who are concerned about their community, who come to meetings every month, actually many times more than once a month, because they come out and participate in our neighborhood walks and they hold their own events, and so it's a great program where people come together, tell us what's going on in their community, and then we respond. The problem that I see is, for over the last 3 or 4 years, we have cut the number of police officers out there on the street. We were at 1,750. Now I'm at 1,603. Those 147 officers make a huge, huge difference. So we still have great community involvement. We still have great participation and support from our state attorney and aggressively prosecuting the bad guys. But we've cut the resources up front that are fighting crime. Not only did we cut 147 police positions, we also cut all 92 community service officers. That entire program went away. And so basically we have over 230 crime fighters that are not working today that were working just a few years ago when we had violent crime, murder, going down in this community in double digits. In fact, in 2011, we had the lowest crime numbers we've had in 40 years, had the lowest murder numbers we could ever find. Going back to, of course, we can only go back to 1971, but the lowest murder numbers. And so then we started making these cuts, really because of the pension issues and trying to, you know, fund that unfunded liability.
Yeah, and you see a direct correlation between the cuts and what we're seeing for calendar year 2013, an uptick in violent crime.
Exactly. If you look, well, now violent crime is still flat. But there is a spike in murder, and violent crime is a precursor to murder. And now that it's flattened out, murder is starting to go back up. Violent crime is going to start going back up. So I met with the mayor, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and told him, I said, look, next year, and I showed him the violent crime numbers along with the staffing numbers. And it's a direct correlation.
And let me get the phone number out again. If you're just joining the program, what are your questions about public safety on the First Coast for Sheriff John Rutherford? We'll go to your calls in just a moment at 549-2937. So in addition to cutting your budget, it's my understanding as well that the anti-crime initiative that former Mayor Payton put in place, the Jacksonville Journey, which was a comprehensive approach to looking at the root causes of crime, everything from recidivism rates, prisoners leaving the system and coming back into the community, everything involved issues with early childhood development, how to strengthen families on the First Coast, a whole host of initiatives. It's my understanding that those programs have essentially been defunded. What's your thought about that?
No, I don't think that's correct, Melissa. What actually happened was the Jacksonville Journey, they quit running the money through the Jacksonville Journey. For example, in my budget, they gave me directly into my budget the money for the Jacksonville Reentry Center and that whole program that we started through the Jacksonville Journey. So or part of the funding was through the Jacksonville Journey. So what they've done is, and I think the city council was correct in doing this, they took those programs that were working and then funded those pieces in the areas where they belong.
And so do you still feel that they're having a positive impact on this issue here in Jacksonville?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
But at
look, don't forget this. As bad as it was last night, we had 5 shootings, the quadruple murder. Those significant events tend to stand out in people's mind. But know this. Overall, even this year, crime is still down about 4 to 6%. So
that's overall, though.
That's overall.
That doesn't include homicide, right?
No, it does. It includes everything.
But if we've topped 100 homicides for calendar year 2013, aren't we still on pace to retain the title of the per capita murder capital of the state?
I don't know. It depends on what's happening in other communities, so I don't know. But I do know this. Our murders are going up. And that's why I've got to have those resources back, so that we can go into these communities and do community problem solving again, which is not just going in and putting a presence in a community, but it's going in and helping that community solve their problems and get them involved.
And if you're just joining us, we're taking your questions and calls right now for Sheriff John Rutherford at 549-2937. Lots of tweets coming into the show. Clifford tweets the show, "When the sheriff was a lieutenant in the old Zone 3, he was one of the few that would answer calls when things got busy." I don't know if you remember that, but
that's coming in
on Twitter. David tweets the show.
Who was that?
Clifford Cook is his name.
Okay.
David tweets the show, "The consequence of not paying taxes, high crime. Is the sheriff willing to risk his political future to advocate for higher taxes?"
I already have. On this show many times, I've raised the issue that for 13 years that we lowered the taxes, we rolled them back and rolled them back and rolled them back and rolled them back until we got down as low as 9.65. And even after the council very wisely this year increased it 1.5 or about 1.3 or 1.2, I think, what you see is...
You mean the millage rate.
Yeah, the millage rate.
Sure.
When you look at our millage rate, still after that increase... We're still the lowest of any major city in the state. So whoever that is, he's absolutely right that idea that we're going to live on the cheap, crime is something you're going to pay for.
We'll go to your calls.
Or you're going to experience, not pay for.
And we'll go
not
to your,
paying for it.
And we'll go to your calls for Sheriff Rutherford in just a moment at 549-2937. You've been vocal about the need to adequately fund public safety. You've been vocal and visible in your dealings with city officials in the mayor's office. There's been much speculation that you're considering a run for mayor yourself. Care to confirm that speculation on this program?
That's purely speculation right now.
Look, have you made a decision?
I'm trying to take care of public safety in this community. And I'm not willing to talk about that right now. But what I do want to talk about is the need to get these resources back. And like I told the mayor 2 weeks ago, I said, look, I've got to ask for 40 officers, 40 police officers, and 40 community service officers next year. We've got to start building this force back up. But here's what concerns me about even waiting till then. It takes 11 months to get an officer on the street functioning as a police officer. Now, I think it's only about 4 months for a CSO, but that's a year. So from the point that I get authorization to add 40 officers to my force, it's going to be a year before we'll feel the impact of that.
Let me ask you about another topic as well, and then we'll go to the phones.
Okay.
As you wrote in a recent op-ed piece in the Florida Times Union, the Florida Senate Gaming Committee came to town to give people a chance to give their input about expanding casino gambling in the state, large-scale destination resort casinos.
Mm-hmm.
You came out four square against that potential. Why?
Absolutely, because any study that you look at will tell you the destination-style casinos bring an increase in crime that more than offsets the financial impact, the positive financial impact of that operation. Look, I love Florida. I love Jacksonville. I believe that would be a detriment to our community. We've fought against destination casinos for a long time. And I think Jacksonville, or not only Jacksonville, but the state of Florida, should celebrate the fact that we're a family friendly destination for vacation and visitors. And you know, Melissa, I have people ask me. They say, "Well, look, we've already got gambling. We've got the lottery. We've got the poker rooms."
Yeah.
Where you know that we're attached to the paramutuals,
the dog racing,
the
too.
Dog tracks, and I said yes, but the difference is, no one comes to Jacksonville from St. Louis or Chicago to go to the poker room.
So you don't want to see a Harrah's style casino, I guess, is a way to describe
correct.
It in Jacksonville.
Correct.
You think that would be detrimental?
Brings all sorts of crime elements that we absolutely do not need.
And if you're just joining the program, what are your guesses about public safety and the debate over whether to expand casino gambling in Florida as we speak with Duval County Sheriff John Rutherford here in Studio 5, 549-2937 to join the show. Let's go to, I'm sorry, I just want to get a few on. They've been waiting. Let's go to Paul in Orange Park. Hi, Paul, go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi, Paul.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for your service. Two things. One, I as a 63-year-old partially disabled man, am deeply grateful for the men and women who choose to go into law enforcement. I would support any measure to increase taxes to, keep our communities safe. And the second question has to do with, the neighborhood watch issue. We have several men in our neighborhood who keep eyes on things,
right.
See people coming in. And I would never pursue anybody. That's not my personality. But if I see someone, prowling down the street, is it legal to, use a night vision video or night vision still camera to take pictures of them and turn those over to the police and say, we saw this person in our neighborhood and we don't recognize them,
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that legal?
Absolutely it is, Paul. As long as they're in a public place, it is absolutely legal. Now, you can't record any conversation that someone may be having surreptitiously.
Yeah.
But, yes, video their face. In fact, homeowners are helping us out an awful lot nowadays with, they're putting up cameras around their homes.
Yeah,
And a night vision is no different. To go back just a moment to the poker room issue, Melissa, I made the point that destination-style casinos bring a certain crime element. They bring a crime element that we have not seen with the poker room. Over on Monument Road.
And, Paul,
well,
thank you for your call.
The prostitution, the aggravated assaults that are directly related back to the facility. We haven't seen that at the poker room. So that tells me that is a local, being regional, draw, not.
And are you saying in Vegas, for example, the police there have that as an ancillary effect of all the casinos?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Joe in downtown Jacksonville. He's got a question about casino gambling. Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very good.
Go ahead, Joe.
What? Good morning, Sheriff. What I'd like to ask the sheriff. Is he's made a great political statement when he says the casino gambling brings more crime to the area. I'd like to hear some numbers. I'd like you to compare this area to Las Vegas, Nevada, or Biloxi, Mississippi, or Tunica, Mississippi, where they do have destination gambling casinos.
Thanks for the question, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. And listen, I would encourage you to go to Florida, My Florida Government, and look at the Senate. Study that was commissioned. And what you'll see is counties that have casino gambling have much greater crime than counties that do not have casino destination style gambling. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I want to say it was something like, I don't want to guess at the numbers, but I can tell you it was an increase in assaults, aggravated batteries, those sorts of crimes around these facilities.
Meanwhile, the proponents of expanding gambling will say, well, this is an easy way to increase revenues, including, I guess, revenues for public safety, which are definitely stressed.
Well, and look, the Senate study that was commissioned this summer, or last summer, did show that there is a moderate financial benefit to them, but I think it's outweighed by the crime that you're going to bring to your community.
And we have questions on a range of issues for the sheriff at 549-2937. AJ in Arlington is on the line. Hey, AJ, good morning. Oh, we lost AJ's call. AJ, give us a call back. I believe he's with the local Mad Dads chapter in that neighborhood. So give us a call back, AJ, 549-2937. Mike in Jacksonville. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
All right. Thank you.
Got a question for the sheriff.
Hi, Mike.
All right, Sheriff Rutherford. I have talked to you once when you were doing a walk a year and a half ago down First Street in Fuller Lane. I repeatedly told you that I called your office in Gateway and officers on the beat to get rid of the drug dealing on the corner of 26th Street and Boulevard. And it has not been eradicated. It has been more than 2 years of vociferous complaints from the neighborhood to the people that drive by as officers, to the people that work down there with Assistant Chief Andre Ayub or Ayub. And still, this has not been eradicated. Now, I know people where your office has set up drug buys, and they've gone in and closed down the place in 2 weeks. And the people own these houses. I've called the Dart place to talk to this guy, McCluskey, down there, and he doesn't do anything. In fact, he doesn't recall, he doesn't even return my calls. And neither has your office over the last 2 weeks I've called your office. So I want to know what's up.
Okay, do this, Mike. If you would, call 630-5898.
5898?
Yeah, 630-5898. Speak with Linda. Leave her your name and number, and I'll call you back, and we'll dig into this.
All right. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for
I
the call.
I want to see a resolution of this before the end of the year. This is right next to an elementary school and a playground where children play, within 1,000 feet of a playground.
All right.
One of these people that was a buyer shot at one of my neighbors 2 days before Shelby Farrell was murdered in the same neighborhood.
Wow.
All right,
Mike,
I'll work on that with you, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
This is the only local program where you can have this kind of access to our public officials.
I like that.
We appreciate you being willing to take the calls, and to our listeners, we appreciate you calling.
Listen, let me say also, going back to Joe's question about the numbers, I didn't realize we were going to talk about gambling today, so next time, when you have me on, I'll bring those numbers with me.
Okay.
To make the point, because I think Joe's probably a lot like me. It sounds like I like to live in the numbers. Show me the numbers. Don't, you know, like he said, don't just make a political statement. Show me the numbers, and I'll bring those to you at the next show.
Let's go now to Joe in San Marco. Hi, Joe. Thanks for holding. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Thanks.
I wanted to find out if the sheriff, and I don't know if this is going on in our area, but there's a new game teenagers are playing called Knockout. Are you familiar with this?
Yes. I don't know that we've had any of that in Jacksonville that I'm aware of. I haven't heard of it, and I hope I never do.
What is it? What is it?
It's a game where it's basically groups of teens are hanging out, finding people that are mainly alone.
Right.
And when they find them, the goal of the game is to knock them out in one punch. They don't rob them. They don't do it. They just want to knock them out.
They just knock them out and walk off.
One guy was, walk off. One guy was left for dead. But it's happened in St. Louis. It's happened in Washington. Apparently, it's one of these new things spreading through the country, and I just didn't know.
Yeah.
It's going to get here, it sounds like. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I certainly hope it doesn't. What a cowardice act. You know, I mean, Melissa, it's not like they walk up to somebody and say, you know, and pick a fight and try to knock them out with one punch. These folks are just walking down the street mm-hmm. blindly, get hit by these individuals. And the caller's right. They only go after individuals who are by themselves because they're such cowards. Mm. They don't want to have a real confrontation. And I tell you what, I think that can, I think we ought to lump that in with hate crimes so that it actually gets prosecuted with greater veracity.
Joe, thanks.
What's also true is that apparently they're saying that they're tired of playing video games because it's not real. So now instead of staying inside and at least acting out their aggressions with a video game, they decide to go out in the real world and pretend they're the video game.
That's terrible.
Right.
Thanks, Joe.
Horrific.
That's terrible. Thanks for sharing that with us, though. And let's go to Larry in Jacksonville. Lots of calls on the show today. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Great.
Look, I wanted to ask the sheriff, have they ever considered electronic bingo as an alternative? Because I lived in Alabama, was a supervisor at an electronic bingo facility, and there was a small county there that were doing very well. Crime rate was very low with electronic bingos, and then, of course, the governor came in, they shut all the facilities down, lost my job, a whole lot of people, too. And some of these counties there were dependent totally on funds that they got from electronic bingo.
Well, bingo is allowed in Jacksonville.
In fact,
I know the Lions Club has a very successful program. Now, you have to get permitted and all of that every year, but it is legal.
All right. Thanks for that, Larry. Steve in Riverside. Hi, Steve. Good morning. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello,
Steve. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you doing, Sheriff?
Fine, Steve. Sheriff. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for all your good work out there, buddy, and all your officers and all the good work they do for our city.
Thank you. I'm very proud of them.
I just wanted to ask you, with all the advent of all the budget cuts and all this, especially to your office, if maybe the increase in crime rates, perhaps we could take those statistics and flash them up on our new Megatron scoreboards, since we paid $3 million for those. They seem to be more of a priority than some of the other real necessary needs in our city.
Thanks, Steve. And he's talking about the video boards at Everbank Field.
Right.
The city going to kick in more than $40 million for those. What about that?
Yeah, I tell you my point on that, Steve. I don't think it's public safety or a quality of life. I think it's public safety and a quality of life. We can certainly afford that in this community, and we should. That goes back to the previous caller's question about, what do we want to do with taxes in this community? When we are at the bottom of major cities in this state as far as our millage rate and other taxes, the fees, there is so much potential there for this city. So I don't begrudge the Jaguars or Mr. Kahn those enhancements at the stadium. I think they will be good for Jacksonville. I think we can do both.
Let's go to one more caller. It's Rachel in Neptune Beach. Rachel, thanks for holding. How are you? Good morning. How's the beach this morning?
It's lovely out here. Good morning to you. I would just like to talk about very briefly about the proposed gambling in Florida. I moved here from Atlantic City, and I lived in Atlantic City for about 30 years, which predated the gaming referendum finally passing, and then the result of being with the casino industry for many years afterwards. I want you to know that there is really a corrosive effect involved in it. This has got nothing to do with a judgment about gambling or the morality of it or anything else. Our crime increased 185%, according to a study, and it was really significant. A lot of break-ins and a lot of theft, and there were a lot more assaults, and a lot of the gaming referendum passed because business owners voted for it, thinking that they could sort of ride on the coattails of the gaming industry. And I'm telling you that when casinos build a casino, they need to keep you right where you are, and so many businesses close because casinos are built so that they're a little world unto themselves. They don't have windows. So you don't know the weather. They don't have clocks.
Right.
But they have restaurants. They have places to buy inexpensive things. They have very expensive shops in them. It's an all-round mini world that's created there. And it really does keep people who go there as a destination from going out to any other businesses that are around it. That's not the goal for the casino. Property values really increased, but there were so many job losses, and they started to lose the base income support for communities. So many houses went up for sale, and it was just like a snowball effect. It got worse and worse and worse for the residents.
And you're talking within the Atlantic City limits?
Well, Atlantic City's on an island, and it is. So it's not just the city limits. Atlantic City's only about 8 miles. It's only about 8 miles wide or long, rather, on the island. But it serves a surrounding region. And so I would say that's stretched out to about at least a 25-mile radius around the city.
Well, Rachel, thanks for providing your perspective on that. That's Rachel in Neptune Beach.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And Rachel, that I believe is exactly what many of the studies are showing.
And so the gaming folks came here the other day to get input from the public. Where does this debate go from here? Nothing's been decided yet, of course.
No, and look, we do have casino destination style gambling in Florida, on the Indian reservations in South Florida,
the Seminole tribe,
and the Miccosukee.
Oh,
and,
right, that's and, right. There's two.
And you know, we've got to be careful that we don't let it expand beyond what they did. I wish we hadn't allowed that before. The feeling was that, you know, I think they paid the state $300 million a year guarantee or something like that. But there's issues that surround that. And I think Rachel hit on a lot of the things that you will see in those reports.
We'll continue to follow it. In the meantime, thanks as always for joining the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa.
We are joined today by Sheriff John Rutherford. More about these issues on our website later today.